Welcome to Parkinson's Recovery and to the weekly teleseminar event that I sponsor. I am Robert Rogers. The focus of our special event today is focused on the second essential step that is necessary for people to be able to see a recovery from symptoms. Last week, at my regular weekly event, I talked about, as you might imagine if you missed it, the first event. All of the teleseminars I do are free, and you'll be able to get notice of the teleseminars if you subscribe to the Parkinson's Recovery newsletter. All you do is you put your email on an entry field on the ParkinsonsRecovery.com website. And I always put out an announcement of the teleseminars I'm doing. The ones I do are regularly at 11 o'clock Pacific time on Thursdays, but I, as many of you are aware, regularly sponsor very special guests who have many different areas of expertise, and I do interviews so that we can learn a great deal from them. So, You would be best advised to be sure and be on the newsletter list. Of course, that's free, and you'll get announcements of the teleseminars. And again, all the teleseminars are free. There are also announcements of all the teleseminars on the blog, the Parkinson's Recovery blog, and that address is, of course, www.blog.parkinsonsrecovery.com. That's all one word. And you see that link, for those of you who are connecting in through your computers, you'll see that link at the bottom right part of the page. There are three or four links there. And so you'll always see an announcement of the teleseminar there. After the teleseminars are completed, you'll be able to download immediately a recording of everything that we've talked about, either for the events that I sponsor myself or for the events where I interview someone else. So it's really a good practice to just automatically download the teleseminar to your computer in the event you might want to listen to it again. They are held up on the public website for a week, and then they're archived onto the member website, the Parkinson's Recovery member website. So if for any reason you want to get access to some of the archived materials, all you need to do is to basically sign up to gain entry to the member website, which costs the grand sum of $1 for the first month. So it's a good idea to do that because there's quite a bit of wonderful material there now. There are interviews of various experts in various fields, recordings of teleseminars. There are also a potpourri of other pages that provide the basis that is required for someone to be able to recover. So if you want to listen to the recording from last week's session, all you have to do is to get into the member website. For those of you who are already in there and visiting on a regular basis, what you want to do is to click on the teleseminar symbol, which is the top left icon. For those of you who have not yet entered into the member website, you can get lots of information about it from the link that you're looking at on your computer screen. Again, if you're looking at your computer screen, which is the top link. For those of you who are listening in on the phone, it's Parkinson's Recovery, all one word, .org. And again, that will give you all the archived information. Just make it a regular practice after the teleseminars are completed, or at least within the first week, to be sure to go to the blog and or to this very page that you're visiting now. It'll be up, and you'll be able to always download it from there. So, the question I've got, and I know many of you were listening last week, the question I've got is, how did a concentrated focus on a single object work for you? Was it difficult? Was it easy? Did you find yourself doing it on a regular basis? Did you avoid doing it? I want to say that for me, speaking personally, it was a true challenge. to be able to focus on an object like a book for a 15-minute period of time without hearing negative thoughts creep in. Let me give you some examples of negative thinking that we carry with us moment to moment throughout the day. Here are things that you may have heard yourself saying. I am old, you know. I can never do that again. Well, at least I'm not worse today. It could be worse, you know. I'm just destined to lead a life of misery. Negative thought after negative thought. I'm going to never recover. Look what's happened. What they say is not true. Recovery is not possible. Blada, 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 blada. There's a whole litany of thought forms that are connected to who we are and where we came from. Now, I want to say that I experienced that too, and what I want to say to all of you is I hold negative thought forms in the tissues of my body. Deborah and I have worked quite a bit recently on this particular issue, and we have discovered one of the reasons for that. You see, thought forms are not simply housed in our brains. They are housed throughout each and every tissue in our body. Were you aware that each of us actually carries physical cells in our bodies from our mothers? I'm not talking about an energetic transfer here. I am talking about the physical presence of a set of cells that actually came from our mothers. That has been scientifically proven. Now, think about it. I don't know about your mother, but my mother certainly held negative thoughts, and she expressed them frequently. If I am housing her physical cells, those cells hold thought forms, too, of my mother. So the negative thoughts that she expressed, I am also going to be carrying in my physical body. You see, it's not that easy to be able to challenge and override the negative thought forms that we carry within each and every cell of our bodies. Now, as Deborah and I have worked on this particular issue, we've discovered something else that we're now writing a book about. The negative thought forms are not just housed in our cellular tissues. The negative thought forms are also carried by all of the bacteria and all of the pathogens that are circulating throughout our body. Now, many of you may think, well, I don't have any, bacteria. I had a few infections back years ago, but I took penicillin, and that's all been taken care of. Well, guess what? Certainly the penicillin or the antibiotics did a good job of being able to tame the bacteria, but I can assure you that if you had an infection in the past, as almost everyone has had, there are still bacteria that are circulating in your body. And it's a rather distasteful topic for me to talk about pathogens, but I have seen pathogens removed from my body. After all, we've got orifices that are exposed to the world. There are a lot of tiny little microscopic pathogens that are crawling about the world, and they creep into our bodies in one way or another through the food we ingest or simply lying on the beach. There's no way around it. Pathogens are in our bodies, and sometimes they nest in there for years and years. They huddle together and have a grand old time. Pathogens, too, they are living entities that also hold thought forms, and as you might guess, these are not positive thought forms. After all, they are inside our bodies to feed off of our life force. So, these pathogens and these bacteria have what we would call low frequency vibrations. And that's one of the reasons why, and when we hold negative thought forms in our systems, in our bodies, for a sustained period of time, we will inevitably find ourselves beginning to feel worse and worse, and we will manifest disease. So, the bottom line is, I think many of us have to acknowledge that negative thought forms are really a way of life for us, and there's really no way around it. I want to now move to address a question that pertains to this particular topic of negative thought forms that are associated with the medical diagnosis of Parkinson's. It's a marvelous letter, so I'd like to read it slowly. It comes from Laurel, who's from Arizona. Laurel writes, I have read your website and am happy that you have recovered from Parkinson's disease. I need to stop here and qualify for everyone. I have not had the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. My mother had Parkinson's, and she died from the complications of taking too many medications, not just for Parkinson's, but for other illnesses and ailments that she had. My uncle currently is in the final stages of Parkinson's, is bedridden, can't walk, and really has difficulty talking. So he's in the dying stages of Parkinson's. But I have personally not I have not been diagnosed, and I do not have the symptoms of Parkinson's. Laurel, you may be confusing me with somebody who has a website that's similar to mine, and that's John Coleman. John had Parkinson's in the mid-90s. He's a naturopath doctor from Australia, and he's done some wonderful work in being able to heal himself and then help many others do the very same thing. Laurel continues to write, I am 52-year-old female, diagnosed 4.5 years ago. My question for you is this. Are you saying that we do not need to take any medication or supplements to heal this disease? And my answer is, oh, heavens no. That's not the pitch. That's not the thinking that I've ever had about what is necessary to be able to heal Parkinson's. If there are symptoms that are being expressed by the body, then it's a clear sign that the body is not getting something that it needs to have, or it's getting too much of something that it does not need to have. In other words, there is evidence of some imbalance. So it may be that nutrition is necessary, and nutrition, of course, embodies the whole gamut of supplements. It's possible that prescription medication is necessary to help people get over a hump. I do personally believe that all of the wisdom about natural healing was actually in the minds and the hearts and the souls of our ancestors, people who lived thousands of years ago, probably in Mesopotamia or in Egypt. I believe people really had the answers back then, but all of that wisdom has been lost. So here we are, thousands of years later, trying to reconstruct the wisdom that had already been carried by people who lived many, many thousands of years ago. That's my personal belief, and the more I research the factors that contribute to relief from the symptoms of Parkinson's, the more I'm convinced that, yes, natural approaches really do work. Laurel continues, I would love to believe that our bodies have the ability to heal themselves, but how could this possibly be true? She asked the question. Well, it's true because the evidence shows that it's true. We have a report after report of people who are getting good relief from their symptoms. They are recovering. Some people are fully recovered, and they are doing it by listening to their bodies, listening to the signals their bodies are giving them, and then responding accordingly. So the people who are on the path to recovery are not locked into thinking they have this entity called Parkinson's, which is a disease, and then they are relying on others to figure out what it is that is necessary for them to do. But rather, these individuals are simply listening to the symptoms that their bodies are sending to them and then asking, okay, what is my body trying to tell me? What does it need that I'm not giving it? And again, it could be food, could be supplements, it could be stress relief, trauma relief. There are a number, it could be a release of toxins, could be a number of different answers that are necessary. Laurel continues, our bodies got sick because of some type of toxicity. At least that is my belief. And that is certainly my belief, too. It's not for 100% of the individuals who have Parkinson's, but from our extensive work, it is clearly true for a pretty significant proportion of individuals. There are toxins that directly contribute to the symptoms. And again, there's a huge body of research that has unequivocally shown that toxins do contribute to the symptoms of Parkinson's. So, she continues, how do we get rid of the toxicity that is making us sick? That's actually a question that I address in teleseminars. I've begun to do that in discussions with naturopaths and other individuals who have lots of fascinating ideas of how we can rid our bodies of toxins. So there's not a simple answer to that, of course. It depends on probably the nature of the toxicity that is at the top of the list in your body as to what types of approaches are going to be most successful. Getting rid of toxicity is not a one-day event. It's not a one-week event. It's a lifetime event. It's something that we need to work on throughout our entire lives. So not a simple answer to that. It's actually full of possibilities that you can explore for yourself. If you have time, please visit my website, and she gives the address of her website. I've visited that. It's a wonderful website. It's got many, many wonderful resources, and it's this is all one word, newfacesofparkinsons.com. That's all one word. And she says, I have been researching everything out there via the internet and tried almost everything, but my symptoms progress. And then she says, thank you for your input. So I think she's asking me to comment on what in the world is going on. I've got a website. I've set the intention. I've explored lots of different alternatives. And yet it looks like my symptoms still aren't getting better. Now, what I want to say is I believe the challenge actually lies not in the supplements that you've experimented with. It certainly doesn't reside in the intention to get better, which is clearly present. I believe that the challenge that you've got resides in the wishy-washy nature of your thoughts. And what I want to suggest is that that's expressed on the website itself. There is, first of all, an impressive body of hope for people that gives lots of alternatives of things that they can actually do to get better. In order to be able, as we talked about last week, in order to be able to recover, the thought that is possible has to be sustained for a long period of time with clarity and succinctness. If the thought is chaotic or messy, then the thought is not going to have sufficient energy to manifest. In other words, it's vibrating at a frequency that is too low in order to be able to be materialized in physical form. And what I want to do is simply to comment on the description that is given on this website of Parkinson's. And what I want to suggest is when we focus our thought forms on the negative, then that is what we will manifest. For example, if I set my intention to eliminate my tremor, what I'm actually doing is I am reinforcing the importance of the tremor in my life. That thought form is a negative thought form. It is not a positive thought form. If I say to myself every day, this rigidity has to go. Notice even when I said that, what's the word that you heard? The word you heard was rigidity. That's what our consciousness hears and remembers. it's rigidity. So what happens? That's what gets reinforced. That's what becomes manifested. That's the thought form that has the energy. It's not the positive thought form. It's the negative thought form that winds up happening. So just to explain, we all do this. I do this. Everyone does this. We have split thought forms. On the one hand, we say, yes, we want A to happen. On the other, we say, oh, A can't happen. It's impossible. Now, when we split like that, the thinking is messy, and we're not going to be able to manifest our true intention to recover and get better. So where is this split intention exhibited on the particular website that I actually referred you to? Well, there is a link that basically describes Parkinson's disease. So the question is, what is Parkinson's disease? And what that particular page is doing is it's giving the standard medical approach of a description of what Parkinson's is all about. This is standard stuff. You find it on web page after web page out there in the internet ethers. So this is very standard language. But what I want to reinforce is this simply reinforces the existence of all of the symptoms that are associated with Parkinson's. In other words, this language in itself is a negative thought form, and it is inhibiting your ability to manifest your positive intention to get better. Negative thought forms have low frequencies, and they bring us down to a state of disease and illness. If we focus on what is called Parkinson's, that nests us into a negative belief template that is depressing, and that will assure everyone that you will, in fact, get worse. Believe me, that belief template is universal, and it is powerful, and it is only a thought form. That's all it is. It's not true. It's only a thought form. Now, how is this negativity expressed in this description of Parkinson's? And again, this is standard. This is what you find as a discussion of Parkinson's really everywhere that I look. The very first four words say, this chronic progressive disease. Well, there's not much hope there. There's not much thinking that anything can happen other than you are going to get worse. This page also says, the illness can become a source of much anxiety. Again, feel the depression that's associated with those words. Feel the lack of hope. Feel the helplessness. This thought form is a very negative thought form. The words, concern about the progression of the disease. Now, that assumes the progression is going to be negative. It's not true. It's not true. If you look at all of the research literature out there on Parkinson's that is done by drug companies, what you see in study after study of people who are on drugs is 10% of the subjects do not get worse. I repeat, they do not get worse. So even in the studies that are well-funded and they have very large sample sizes, what we see is evidence after evidence that, no, it's simply not true. And what I mentioned last week, I'll mention again this week. Between one-fourth and one-third of all persons who are diagnosed with Parkinson's are found not to have it when they do autopsies. One-fourth to one-third. That means one out of every three individuals who are listening to this now don't even have this, quote, disease called Parkinson's. So I think it's a mistake to funnel ourselves into a label of Parkinson's. It puts us into a negative belief system that will be self-fulfilling. Now, I've summarized all of the negative thought forms that are expressed on this page, and I'm just going to read them to you because I want to get away from talking about negative thought forms, but I want to make the point that they exist. They exist on websites all over the place, and they exist within our own thinking. I'm raising my hand now. I hold negative thought forms. I work every day to override those. This is a universal challenge, but it is particularly difficult for anybody who has been diagnosed with the symptoms of Parkinson's, because that belief system that Parkinson's is chronic and progressive is powerful. Now, here are the other words that I've identified on this very short four-paragraph description of Parkinson's. Here are the words: disability, chronic, progressive, illness, anxiety, not possible, level of disability, disorder, side effects, main concerns, hallucinations, a life of adjusting doses. And I look on the column of words of hope, and I have none. There are no positive thought forms on this page. Now, let me be clear, and the rest of the site, and I want everybody to visit it because it's a marvelous website with many wonderful resources. There is hope. There is the expression that things can be done and it is possible to get better. But coupled with that is this battery of negative thought forms. And again, let me be clear. Although you're holding the positive, you are also balancing the positive with the negative thought forms. That means that the positive thought forms will never have the energy to manifest. They are being diluted to the extent to which nothing is going to actually happen. We can manifest with thought forms anything, but there's a way to do it, which is what I'm talking about now. I have one more point that I want to make that I feel like is really important. Once people slip into this place of medical diagnosis, and I want to say, leave that to the people who are trained to work in that framework. People go to years of schooling to be able to know how to prescribe medications. Let them hold that energy for you. You don't need to hold it for yourself. You can hold a very different energy that you will soon discover will result in incredible outcomes. Now, one of the thought forms that I think may sound familiar is, oh, I wish I were like normal people, other people who don't have the problem that I've got. What I want to do with that thought form is to ring a negative buzzer. Now, why did I just do that? I did that because that thought form is not only negative, it's wrong. When we say, oh, look at the problems I've got. Boy, and look at all the other people in the universe that, you know, they're healthy, they've got wonderful lives, and I don't. I can't even, I used to play the piano, and I can't play the piano anymore. I used to ski, I can't ski anymore. But these other people that I know, my friends, I mean, you know, they're normal. They have normal lives, they're healthy. What I want to say is, that's not true either. Everybody comes into this life has issues of one type or another. When we see people, they may be handsome or beautiful, they may look like they're healthy, but guess what? If you touch inside that person, what you're going to discover is they probably are confronting some very, very, very serious and formidable challenges in their life. Everybody has issues. And it just happens to be that the symptoms of Parkinson's are the issues that you have been dealt with. And I really want to be personal here. If you looked at me, if you looked at Deborah, if you looked at our children, we are handsome people. Our children are handsome people. They seemingly are healthy. We are healthy. You would say to yourself, oh, we live in a wonderful place on the Puget Sound. We love each other. There are wonderful things about our lives. But I can assure you that each of us has very specific issues that we're dealing with that are very deep and they're very profound. All of us, everyone in this world has issues, and it just happens to be that the symptoms of Parkinson's are the issues that you happen to have been dealt with. So what I want to suggest is just say to yourself, okay, I'm like everybody else. I'm not different. I'm like everybody else. And it just happens to be that what's happening to me right now is what I need to deal with. This is what I'm here on this earth at this time to be able to work with. And thank you very much. Now I know what it is. So now I'll get to work on figuring out what this is really all about. Now, when we think about our thoughts, as I mentioned just a little bit earlier, it is also unequivocally true that we tend to focus on symptoms. In other words, what we do is we say to ourselves, I don't like this fact that I'm really having difficulty moving my body. And so we are focused on the negative aspects of how we are feeling in the moment. What you do when you do that is to give the symptoms strength and energy. You are guaranteeing that your symptoms will escalate and get worse. When you say, I am determined to get rid of my rigidity, I am determined to get rid of my tremor, you are guaranteeing that you will always have a tremor, and you are guaranteeing that you will always have rigidity. Why? Because you are focusing by virtue of your thought forms on the negative aspect of what's happening to yourself. The best way I can describe it is you are seemingly saying, no, you don't get it, Rogers. I'm saying I don't want that. What I'm saying to you is that the consciousness of the thought doesn't hear the words don't. It doesn't recognize the word no. Consciousness only recognizes the affirmative word, and if the affirmative word that you're using is rigidity, that's what's heard, and that is what is remembered, and that is what is given energy. So, what is it that's really necessary for you to be able to manifest recovery? And the second step is to be able to acknowledge that what you need to do is to materialize your intention. So the first step was in providing the focus of thinking so that you are able to focus on that intention without wobbling about and letting negative thought forms slip in. The second step is to materialize this intention, and the quicker you'll be able to materialize it is a function of the quality of the intention, the length that you are able to hold your intention, the clarity of the intention, and the intensity of the intention. The way it works then is you need to be able to focus on a completed goal, something that you'd like to be able to accomplish for yourself. You don't want to focus your thinking on the steps that are necessary leading up to the accomplishment of the goal. You need to know where you want to be, and then, once that's clear, you can figure out how to get there. Just think about it. When you decide you want to go somewhere, what you do is you pinpoint the place, and then you look at a map or you look at airline schedules to figure out how you're supposed to get there. It works the very same way with thought forms. Remember, the most powerful force in the universe is thought. It's not medicine. It's thought. And when thoughts are crystal clear, when they have clarity, when they have intensity, and when we hold those clear thoughts for a prolonged period of time, I can assure you that those thoughts will manifest themselves into the material world. If we find that we qualify them with doubts and hesitations, no, the answer is those thoughts will not materialize because they have been diluted with wishy-washy thinking. So the second step is to focus, to concentrate, and to see it done, to see the goal accomplished. The longer you can see it, the stronger you can feel it, the louder you can heal it, the faster your heart's desire will materialize. And again, remember, the problem is not that you don't have those clear thoughts. The problem is that they lack the energy to materialize because you are not holding them for a long enough period of time. They don't have intensity, and they do not have focus. And remember, we can only think of one thought form at a time. That's it. We can't think of two thought forms. So the trick of it is, you set your intention to work on one intention, on one goal, and that's what you focus all of your thoughts on. That's it. That's all you do, is to focus on that single intention. That's the trick. That's what needs to happen. And so now, let me give you an exercise you can do this week to be able to help you start that process on the path to recovery. Now, I gave you an exercise last week of focus. Continue to do that exercise, and I assure you I have to continue to do that because I don't have it straight yet. It's a tough one to be able to focus on a single entity for a 15-minute block period of time. This particular approach is also a meditation, and like the suggested exercise from last week, I like to recommend that you get a timer from your kitchen or your watch or your cell phone and simply set it to 15 minutes. You don't need to do that today. I can certainly be your timer today. But it's a good idea to time it, because you don't want to spend too much time on this exercise. You want to make it a regular daily ritual. The same time every day is a great idea. The first thing in the morning when you get up is also a great idea. But if you'll do it every day, you will be amazed at what will unfold for you. Now, to be clear, we are not specifically talking about what needs to happen in order for you to be able to accomplish the intention that you are setting. We're not talking about decisions with regard to, do you need to take supplement A or supplement B, or see health practitioner C or health practitioner D. We're not talking about those issues. The deal is, once the thought form is crystal clear, once it has enough energy to manifest, you, I guarantee you, will find ways to make it happen. You'll make it happen one way or another. You'll experiment over and over again with different modalities, different people, different healthcare practitioners. You'll figure out a way to make this happen. I promise you that. But in order to manifest the goal, you have to continue to hold the intention. So, whether you are listening on the phone or whether you're connecting through the computer, I'd like for you to give yourself the opportunity to get into a relaxed place. Put the phone on monitor if it's not already on monitor. Set yourself down if you are standing. Get yourself comfortable. Put your feet into a relaxed position, both feet on the floor. And what you want to do in order to start this meditation is to put yourself into a relaxed state. In other words, to quiet the thoughts in your mind. We've been racing with thoughts, both you and I, now. And what we want to do is to switch gears. We want to slow the rapidity of that rapid-fire thinking down. And to do that, I invite you to take 7 slow breaths, effortlessly. This doesn't have to be a big deal. You want to take a breath in and focus on the character of the breath, what it feels like to take that air into your lungs and then to exhale that air. Counting at 1. And then allow yourself to count 6 more breaths. Whether they are short or long doesn't matter. What matters is focus on only the breath. And as you do, allow all the tension in your body to dissolve, little by little, noticing if there's any tension or tightness in your stomach or your shoulders or your toes or your thighs, and just let it go. no reason to be tight or anxious or upset or angry. Let all of that go and relax your body. And after you finished your seven breaths, when you're doing this yourself, if it still feels like you are tense, then give yourself another seven breaths. There's no reason you can hold it to just the first seven. Seven is a magical number. It's the number of days, the number of continents. Something special about focusing in on seven. So do it in sets of seven until you really feel like finally you've allowed yourself to focus on your breath and to be present to yourself. And I'd like to now invite you to shut your eyes. We'll only be doing this for a short period of time. So close your eyes. And as you are listening to my voice, please focus on getting back an activity that you have given up because of your symptoms. Whatever comes to mind first is going to be the activity that would be best for you to meditate on. And to be specific, the activity could be playing bridge with your friends. It could be skiing. It could be sailboating. It could be playing the piano or the guitar. It could be singing. It could be visiting a friend. It could be traveling. It could be any number of activities, small or large. It could be going to the drugstore or grocery store that you've given up and asked somebody else to do for yourself. Any activity you've given up that you want to reclaim for yourself. Allow that to float to the top. And whatever you're thinking about, whatever's floating to the top is going to be the activity that will be truly and genuinely helpful for you to meditate on today. The magic of the second step now is to materialize this activity and to see it in your mind's eye. So what I'd like for you to do as you've got your eyes closed is to create in front of you a television set with a blank screen. Your own television set, this is. And if you'd like, you can make the screen as large as you would like since this is in your mind's eye. And now, place a control into your hands and push the on button on. The program that you are about to watch is the program of you now doing the activity that you have given up, the activity that you would like to now restart. Watch yourself now on the TV doing this activity. Make it ever so detailed. What are you wearing? What shoes do you have on? What shirt or dress? What does your face look like? Watch yourself now moving into this activity. Who are you with? Who are the people that you're with, if anyone? Who's there? Where are you now? What does this place look like? What are the colors? What are the smells? What do you hear? How are you feeling? What is your body doing? You can make your body do whatever it needs to do this activity. Make it so now. Move into the activity. Experience it in its fullest. Now. Hear it. See it. Feel it. This is your movie. This is your life. Reclaim it now. You're focusing now on the positive, on what it is that you want to manifest in your life. Stay focused on this activity. Keep the TV tuned to the same channel. Carry out this activity to its fullest. Experience this activity in the way that you want to experience it, however that might be. And as you experience it, feel your body in a place of full balance, health, and wellness. A body that is able to do this activity just the way you have always done it in your life, giving you pleasure and giving you joy. The more concrete you can make this activity for yourself now, the faster it will materialize. Make it specific. Detail out the place you are at. Every detail counts. Every detail counts. Materialize this wish on your television set. Allow this activity to unfold in its fullest, with no hesitation, no constraint, no limitation. Do it the way you want to do it. Give your body the permission to be all that it knows how to be now. And now, if you had a buzzer, the buzzer would be going off and telling you, good work, good focus, good activity. Close that focused intention out. Give yourself a break. Take a breath. The work is done for the day. Put it on your calendar to do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. The same activity. You may see it. Doing the activity in different places or in different ways. The key is to materialize this thought form, which is a positive thought form. Here you are not focusing on limitations or problems or symptoms. Here you are focusing on all that you will become. allow this thought form now to manifest to its fullest and most complete extent. Focus. Concentrate. It will happen. There is a beautiful quote by Goethe that I'd like to read for you. It was a quote that Chris Bliss spoke during my interview with him. Chris is the comedian and the comic, but it's appropriate for what you can do for yourself now. He says, years and years and years ago, whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now. Why wait? For in the waiting, you will make the opposite for sure to happen. Now, in the nature of hope, as you are all beginning to come out of your short meditation, I have a wonderful letter, an email that I received that I want to read to you, which exhibits hope supreme. It is from Carmel from London, and she says the following. Just wanted to say thanks for the mostly email daily information regarding Parkinson's recovery. I find it very inspiring, and it keeps me reminded that the body is a very sophisticated machine that has the ability to heal itself if we listen to it and are patient. I have learned a lot, and I like your sense of humor very much. I love that. I had to read that. So easy to feel heavy and down about this condition, especially after seeing the neurologist. I often challenge their concepts and predictions about me having Parkinson's and relay ideas on alternatives to medication that could help symptoms. I think it's important that they know recovery is possible, as their prognosis is invariably dim and dark. And of course, that's what we've talked about in our session today. I am female, 49, and was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 8 months ago. My symptoms are mainly pain in the shoulders, neck, and lower back, and some stiffness in right arm and hand. I began investigating the cause when I no longer could play the piano fluently with my right hand. It felt heavy and awkward. I'm an Australian, but have been living many years in London. I have been having regular telephone meetings with John Coleman for the past 6 months, which have been particularly supportive. I am taking the aqua waters, that's a homeopathic treatment for dehydration, as well as having Bowen technique, that's a body therapy that helps relieve stress, and feeling good with it. I am also being monitored by my neurologist here and taking a very small amount of cinnamon. Then she says, I am positive that I will recover from this condition, even though I know it may take some years. As I think it has been slowly developing over my lifetime, a few years is not so long to wait. Well, that's a lovely statement of a positive intention that she is setting. I've got some questions that I want to be sure to answer other than the one I've already answered. This is from Anne, who's from Washington, D.C. She says, if my body starts recovering, and that's in quotes, do my medications therefore become too much and trigger more dyskinesia, inner shaking, and anxiety? And so should I be prepared to lessen dosages of L-DOPA or agonist? ? We know for sure that lots of things do shift very, very dramatically. It's no question about it that medications can begin to have very, very different effects in the body. Now, depending on what you're doing, in some cases, not as much medication is needed, depending on what it is that you're doing as a companion. In other cases, what may happen is the symptoms actually get worse. But the fact is that if you are actually on a healing path, it's possible and very, very likely that even though the symptoms may be getting worse, you're actually getting better. I know that sounds counterintuitive. It seems like, I'm sure to you, that if you're doing the right thing, then the immediate result would be that you would begin to feel better. But that's actually not the way healing works. Again, depending on the therapies that you are choosing to pursue, some of the therapies bring up issues for us that may be factors that are contributing to the symptoms. There may be feelings, there may be trauma, there may be sadness, there may be hopelessness, helplessness, there may be feelings that will emerge that will then confound with the medications. So there's no doubt about it. There are incredible shifts in the effectiveness of medications in both directions. And it's important to work very closely with your doctor to be able to adjust that as need be. Of course, many people set the intention to begin to wean off the medications, but you have to be very careful since there is an, I'm going to use the word, addictive character to most prescription medications, especially for Parkinson's. The body becomes used to being able to have that medication, and the worst thing you want to do is to stop taking them, as I'm sure your neurologist will tell you. So you want to be sure to consult very closely with your neurologist or with your healthcare practitioner with the adjustments of any medications. It will, I assure you, it will be necessary. It will happen. You'll see all kinds of things happen. What we've also noticed in tracking people over time who are recovering is that we see remarkable positive shifts in their symptoms, that is, people get a great deal better, and it's surprising how quickly. But what we've also observed is people don't recognize it. That is, they're not even aware that they're significantly better. So it's a good idea for anybody on a program of recovery to begin tracking your symptoms. And we have a system for doing that on ParkinsonsRecovery.com. It's called Symptom Tracker. And you can basically go in every month, every 2 weeks, answer a questionnaire, and you'll get a nice chart of your symptoms. So you'll be able to see what's really happening, and if there are some manifestations of problems in either direction, you'll be able to see the trend. You can talk to your doctor about it and adjust the medications accordingly. Sal from Manalapan wants to know, can I get a broadcast for last week's teleseminar? And the answer is, well, yeah. Everything is archived on the Parkinson's Recovery website, and all the teleseminars are offered free at no cost whatsoever. So the good idea, if you're interested in tapping into that, is to simply download the teleseminars after they're completed. I keep them up on the public website for a week or two for everybody to download them, and then I archive them onto the member website. So if you want to see the archived teleseminars, you can sign up to get in the member website where everything is archived, and that's on the computer screen. It's a ParkinsonsRecovery.org. It explains what the member site is, and you can pay the grand sum of $1, get in there and grab everything that you'd like to grab, download it onto your computer and save it. There's some wonderful interviews that are there and that are also coming in the future. There's another letter from Nita from Victoria, Melbourne, Victoria, and she says, hi there, I'd like to participate in the teleseminar online. How do I access the event? And for everyone, you can access it by just signing up for the Parkinson's Recovery newsletter. And I always send out announcements of the teleseminars, so you'll be able to see who's on, what they're going to talk about, et cetera, et cetera. I'm on every week pretty standardly at 11 o'clock on Thursday mornings for an hour, so you can pretty much count on me being here if you want to connect up then. You can also see announcements of the teleseminars on the blog, which is blog.parkinsonsrecovery.com. And so the announcements are there. And also you can always get recordings of these after they're completed. And, of course, I want to invite anybody to download the recording as well. Finally, I do have, I put this out on an email message to everybody, but I do have a meditation series that I worked quite hard on, doing a series of guided meditations. And as a Valentine surprise to everybody, I've discounted that all the way down 50%. It cost an enormous amount of money to master that stuff and to duplicate it and to prepare it to send to people. It's priced now at 50%, which is basically $49.95 or thereabouts. You'll have to also pay shipping. But there's a special, that special discount, Valentine discount, is up through this Friday. So it's up for another couple of days. It ends Friday midnight. So if you click on the meditation link on the page, you'll see the explanation of what the meditations are. If you get onto the member website, you'll see the meditations posted there. So you can download the meditations directly from the member website onto your computer and just listen to them onto your computer. If you like them on CDs, you can purchase them at that special discount price, and so you can put them in your car or listen to them, you know, in a comfortable place rather than having to be connected to your computer. There's also, of course, the hard copy download, so you can read them as you're actually listening to them. So there's 7 meditations on 7 different topics that I developed as a result of talking to lots of people about issues and about what I knew would help people to be able to get some relief from their symptoms. Oh, the other thing I want to be sure to mention to everyone is when you're if you decide you'd like to order this before midnight Friday, and you're on the page, when you click on the order form, it'll say $99 and whatever. There's a coupon code place on the shopping cart page. You enter the code word Valentine, V-A-L-I-N-T-I-N-E, Valentine, V-A-L-E-N-T-I-N-E. And that's the code word that automatically sets it for the 50% discount. I think I calculated I'm only losing $1,000 by offering these at that. So it's really my Valentine gift to everybody who'd like to have a copy of that to use for their own personal purposes. But again, if you get on the member website, those meditations are there on the member website. So you can see what they're all about, see if that's something you might want to pursue or not. Again, what we know is that everybody needs different kinds of things to be able to recover, and that's just that guided meditations are something that I know will certainly help some people. So explore it, give it a try, see if it's helpful to you, and I just wanted you to know about that special Valentine offering. It's a great gift if you'd like to give it to anybody who has the symptoms of Parkinson's to give for Valentine's. It's really a very sweet idea, I think. So that's basically it. We talked about today, of course, is the full gamut of everything you need to know on step 2 of being able to recover from the symptoms of Parkinson's. I want to say that these are powerful ideas, that if you work with them and begin to develop focus and concentration of your thought forms, if you'll begin to look on the positive of what you want to see accomplished, it will be accomplished. And the harder you work at focusing positive thought forms and making them a part of your daily thinking practice, the faster you'll find you'll be getting relief from symptoms. And notice, for these 2 sessions, and you'll find for the subsequent sessions, I'm not talking about specific things you can do to get better. That's not what this is all about. That's not what is the difference that makes the difference in being able to recover. What I'm now talking about is the decisions you can make for yourself that will make the difference. I'm going to be coming out next week with something I'm excited about, which covers a huge number of ideas of alternatives that you can pursue for being able to feel better. I mean, this is quite amazing. I've interviewed basically 7 experts in the field who have been working with clients and seeing amazing results. And I've interviewed 7 individuals with the symptoms of Parkinson's, and they're talking about things they did to be able to get amazing results and feel better. So there's going to be a wealth of information out there, a lot of choices, a lot of ideas of things that you can actually pursue that will be able to get you steadily on the course to recovery. So that all